Well, I think the point to make at the beginning is that the budget does provide a confidence boost through an array of tax concessions for business, including the instant assets write-off to the tune of about $20 billion altogether. And this is a combination, really, of tax and spending measures. But the problem is that the measures, in many cases, are half measures and are inadequate to deal with the scale of the challenge that we have in Australia, which is to reinvent and reposition our entire industrial structure based as it is on the export predominantly of unprocessed raw materials rather than knowledge-based industries and services. And so any contribution to moving in this direction is welcome, but it does require a much bigger vision than simply individual measures like patent box. That said, patent box is a useful step in the right direction because it does recognise the significance of the biomedical sector in Australia's economy and its capacity to grow based on homegrown R&D, whether within an enterprise itself or in collaboration with universities and the CSIRO. We have a number of companies in this space which are world leaders in global markets and value chains, I think it's helpful for the government to ensure that we get a next generation of those enterprises in Australia based on this tax concession that is available to companies that are basing new product lines on patents.
You mentioned the instant asset write-off, which they've extended, and also the R&D tax incentives. Overall, how effective will these be in stimulating people to start a business or grow their business?
Well, any incentive makes a difference. The question is, how targeted are they? Because you're providing a write-off for any kind of asset, any kind of investment, irrespective of its future contribution to repositioning the Australian economy. What we still lack is a vision and an implementation strategy to move us from where we are to where we want to be with a much more diverse and research-intensive mix in our exports. 40% of our exports now, 40% are iron ore. And imagine if our major importers of iron ore, obviously China, diversify to other markets. And that's entirely possible that they will over the next 5 to 10 years. What would we be focusing on in that export mix? So we do need a broad industrial strategy which asks the questions, what are we good at in Australia? What are our areas of current and potential future competitive advantage? And let's double down on those because we're only ever going to do around 2% of the world's R&D. Let's make sure it's well directed and also that we not only do the R&D, but we also adapt and adopt technologies from around the world in the context of new business models across the areas where we think we can have an impact and where collaboration with universities, CSIRO, can make a difference. We lack the structures, we lack the policy instruments at the moment to make this happen. The government did put a bit of money last year in the October budget, $1.5 billion, into the modern manufacturing strategy. Again, a good move, but other countries are putting in multiples of that as part of post-COVID recovery.
Just finally on small business, last year we had the wage subsidy program, JobMaker. We didn't see that extended this time around. What kind of measures in this budget will help small business, and do you think they'll be effective in getting them back up on their feet after COVID?
Yeah, sure. Well, it depends what business you're in. Obviously, the tax concessions make a difference. And as you mentioned earlier, there's still access to the R&D tax incentive. The government has shifted the focus of its expenditure policies in the jobs area from job maker to training. And that's very welcome because we can't rely on net immigration at the moment to fill skill vacancies. We have to grow those skills domestically. And so a big emphasis on skills is welcome after the vocational education and training sector has been starved over many years. But of course, that big emphasis does seem to be taking place at the expense of universities, which have had this huge hit from the collapse of international student revenues. Maybe up to $4 to $7 billion over the next few years, and that's not being made up by public funding support. So the question is, where will the funding come from so that universities can contribute to higher skills and also to our much needed research effort?